next case is appeal number 22-1308, Trinity Info Media v. Covalent. Mr. Hillier, whenever you're ready.
May it please the court. On behalf of Trinity Info Media, LLC, we ask that the court reverse and demand the district court's order granting Covalent's Rule 12b6 motion for dismissal on the basis that every claim of both two patents in suit are invalid under 35 U.S.C. 101. And we do so for two principal reasons, while acknowledging that there's other requests that we make, including for claim construction, for fact discovery. I want to start off with the precept that the characterization of these claims was first made by Covalent as matching users who gave corresponding answers to a question. The district court adopted that generic characterization of the claims. And to the extent that the court ever narrowed its characterization, it only did so by characterizing the claims as collecting information, analyzing it, and displaying results. Now that's important for a couple of reasons. First, because it violates the precept that this court has constantly reinforced that when conducting a 101 analysis, it is improper to genericize the claims because in so doing, you're necessarily going to be driving toward an abstract idea conclusion. And I think it is self-evident that if claim limitations, particularly those that might be new, that might be non-abstract, that might impart benefits over general purpose computing are ignored, then you might as well not conduct the analysis at all. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be able to support your predetermined conclusion that this is about matching users.
What is your articulation of what the claims are directed to? I mean, without reading the whole claim, what are they directed to?
The claims are directed to except creating user profiles, posing questions to a user, and this is the important part, attaching a unique identifier to the answer so that that answer can find its place in a new and novel array of match servers rather than a single match server that would have to later be searched so that the matching answers can eventually be found more efficiently, more adeptly, with quicker speed and efficiency, basically for an infinite number of users. Now, for most of my time, I'm going to focus on unique identification and multiple match servers.
Do your claims actually require the use of an array?
So Claim 8 builds in greater hardware, including a match aggregator and match servers. Claim 1 does not specifically recite those pieces of hardware.
When you refer to Claim 8, which...
Oh, I beg your pardon, of the 321 patent? And in fact, it's the court's analysis of Claim 8 that I think is going to be particularly insightful, in part because even though there's additional components to the system that the complaint and the patent identify as advances over the prior art that improve efficiency overall, the court still manages to take Claim 8 and reduce it down into those bromides that I gave you at the top of my argument. So to further answer your question, Your Honor, unique identifier is recited in Claim 1, and then it's a question of claim construction as to whether receiving and storing import the use of multiple match servers. That's an open question.
But you never proposed a specific claim construction, correct?
Because we never had the opportunity, Your Honor. In fact, during the oral argument in front of the district court, His Honor asked me what claims I thought required construction, and I answered that question, but the motion was granted before we had an opportunity to address it.
What answer did you give?
Your Honor, it's in the briefing. I could direct your attention to it. But it certainly included unique identification as well as receiving and storing.
And what would you now, if you can go new pro tunk, what would you now say is the proper construction of unique identifier that would have made a difference had the district court construed the term in the way that you propose?
Your Honor, in order to answer that question, I'd have to turn my attention toward the specification to come up with...
Well, surely you had something in mind. I mean, you've been using the term unique identifier, which is not self-explanatory, at least not to me. So why don't you tell us what you think that term means, which presumably would be the way you would want it to be construed.
Loosely stated, Your Honor, I believe it refers to the positioning, the assignment that is given to an answer based on a tabular formula that's in the specification that identifies its position in a match server.
So if a computer tags a particular answer and the tag is unique for that answer, that's enough?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think it's the uniqueness of the answer. I believe it's the uniqueness
The uniqueness of the response, I should have said. Not that the answer may not be the same answer given, but the uniqueness of party A gives this response, and that would be what you would tag, right?
I believe it's more than that, Your Honor.
Okay, what more?
I believe it's not only the answer itself, but it's based on the user, the answer, and the position in the match server.
All right.
So that rather, just simply stated, you can have one server, and it can fill up with information, and you can never need another server because you have the capacity. Traditionally, if you use a second server, it's for the overflow of the first server. So that in a matching protocol, you would have to search every answer in that server and then go to the second. This is a distributed model where the unique identifier finds a position in the collection of matched servers so that when the searching is conducted, it can be done instantaneously.
Right, but distributed architecture has been around for a long time, right? But you didn't invent distributed architecture in this patent.
I didn't invent anything. I think that's one thing we won't have an argument about.
I'm
being tongue-in-cheek.
All right.
No, Your Honor, but at the same time, in order for me to make an admission about what exists and what doesn't exist, we'd need the opportunity at the district court level to get more granular about it.
Yeah.
And indeed, one of the things that I can feel your reluctance, I feel that all the way over here.
I'm having trouble getting a handle on the argument if I don't know what it is that you think the district court should have done by way of telling us what the patent is all about.
Trinity is not claiming an invented match servers.
Right.
The degree to which they've been used for matching protocols is not in the record. And we take the position that the use of additional match servers in the way that's claimed and described as novel, unique, and advanced over the art.
Right. How about swiping? Now, you've referred to swiping as a feature of this invention that falls into the inventive concept category, I take it.
Correct.
But again, you didn't invent swiping, obviously.
Well, I think it's
important. You're not claiming that you're invented swiping.
Well, I think it's important to recognize that the priority date of this application is 2010. And
But the application that, the patent that refers to swiping is 2018, right? The 685?
Your Honor, that application claims priority back to 2010, if memory serves.
But does the specification refer to swiping, or just the claim?
The specification does not refer to swiping. All that swiping shows up in is in the claims, which were new as of 2018. So your priority date for the claims presumably would be 2018, right?
I will disagree with you.
Okay. Tell me why.
The 685 is a continuation in part that adds additional subject matter, but the written description support for swiping dates back to the priority date of the 321 patent.
Where is the written description?
Your Honor, it's the reference to the use of the invention on a handheld device. I don't have the pin site in front of me.
Handheld devices go all the way back a good deal, but swiping itself, I believe I'm correct in this, but I may be wrong, so correct me if I am. I don't think the word swiping appears anywhere in the written description of the 685. Am I wrong?
No, you're right, Your Honor.
Right,
but
okay.
When the claim was prosecuted in front of the examiner, the written description support that was given was for the recitation of handheld device. And by the way...
But handheld device does not equal swiping.
We disagree.
You think handheld device necessarily entails swiping?
We believe that one of ordinary skill in the art would recognize that an operation that's part and parcel of a handheld device is swiping.
Even at the earliest times that handheld devices were in existence?
It depends how you define a handheld device, Your Honor. I mean, a handheld device could be a rotary gun.
So, again, this goes to the question originally posed was, did Trinity invent swiping? And you're saying Trinity invented swiping because in the patent application in 2010, it refers to handheld devices. So that means that Trinity invented swiping.
No, Your Honor. We're not trying to understand. No, we're not claiming to have invented swiping. But what I do want to point out, though, is that, and the district court did this as well, so at the risk of disagreeing with the inquiry, what we're suggesting is that we had a priority date that supported swiping in connection with a matching protocol. It's not inventing swiping in a vacuum, which is usually different. But I also want to point out that the undue focus on a particular element in isolation and talking about its inventiveness betrays the necessity to consider the claim not just as a whole, but as an ordered combination. And the district court engaged in...
The only reason why this question is coming up is because you've argued it as an inventive concept. And I
understand not swiping.
You're saying that you're not arguing it on its own, but as an ordered combination with the other elements in the claim.
In a matching protocol, in matching operations,
well,
correct.
That's what you're considering correct. The ordered, all of the elements of the claim.
Yeah, and the reason I'm making... I apologize, I didn't mean to talk over you, Your Honor. The only reason I'm pointing that out is because... the seductive nature of identifying every element and saying known, therefore.
Do you have any allegations in the complaint explaining why swiping, it can be as or combination, is inventive? Can you point us to something? Give me a page site. Give me something.
Well, Your Honor, we do identify, and I think I can put my finger on it right away, allegations in the complaint. I think it's in the briefing materials, which gives the pin site. It's on page 24 of our principal brief.
And then maybe if you do me the favor, can you give me what that pin site is?
Certainly it's appendix 78.
Thank you.
Which I believe is the amended complaint. It would be paragraph 32.
Thank you.
Certainly. May I continue? Am I into my rebuttal time?
Okay. Yes, you are. Do you see the yellow light?
Yeah, I do.
During your rebuttal time.
The point I wanted to add, consistent with my argument that stripping away the claim limitations is going to...
Do you
to,
want to preserve your rebuttal time?
If the court would indulge me, I promise not to overstay my welcome. If I could be given 1 or 2 minutes, that would be much appreciated. So the driver behind finding this to be abstract, and indeed under prong two, determining that there's nothing new here, there's no factual disputes as to whether or not it's new, known, or improves functionality, were all those conclusions were supported by the analysis, which essentially walked through each of the claim elements and simply said those are all abstract. And in fact, the total analysis of claim one of the 3-2 patent is at appendix 15, which simply it's page 15 of the order, and simply states, I suppose it starts on line 9, limiting the abstract idea, that abstract idea, to the particular environment of the claimed processor, memory, unique identifier, receiving and storing, which in my view would also include the match servers, in the memory do not make claim one less abstract. Now there's case citations there, but there's no other explanation as to why the allegations in the complaint, which say otherwise, can be ignored.
But aren't those allegations that you point us to pretty conclusory? Like, do you have something in the allegations that's not so conclusory?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that the pin sites not only include summaries of whether something was either new or includes or advances the art in terms of functionality, et cetera, but also included citations to the specification. If you want to talk about a particular limitation, we could do that. But
I mean, I was just, you pointed me to paragraph 32. I'm just kind of working with you on this, right?
Appendix
28. We were asking about swiping and the like. And I was asking for, is there something in the complaint materials to tell us what would be inventive, whether it's as an ordered combination or individually? You gave me paragraph 32, which to me looked pretty conclusory. I was just asking if there was anything less conclusory you could point me to.
That's the best citation I can give you for swiping. There's probably greater specificity as it relates to unique identification and match servers, because that's sort of at the hallmark of what's different.
That answers my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I think you're out of time.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear from Mr. Dietrich now.
Very well.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Tom Dietrich, MacArthur Law, PC, on behalf of Apelli Covalent, Inc. First, going back to Judge Cunningham's question of or statement that the allegations are pretty conclusory in the complaint, you're very correct. They are conclusory, about as conclusory as it could get. These are the kind of allegations that have been rejected in other cases that have found that they are simply legal conclusions couched as factual allegations, and have found that the district court did not need to rely on those basic legal conclusions in analyzing a motion to dismiss under Rule 12b-6. Some of those cases include Dropbox versus Synchronos, Simeo, and Boom Payments. In all of those, the district court was found to have properly disregarded unsupported legal conclusions of the type raised by Trinity in its complaint. And so it is Covalent's position that, yes, the allegations are extremely conclusory. There actually are no additional factual allegations regarding unique identification or match servers. And the identification of swiping merely just states swiping exists, and that's it. So going to Trinity's argument that the district court overly simplified the claims of these patents, Covalent's position is that's not correct or accurate. The district court carefully analyzed the claims, and it did provide a more simplified description of the claims, as has been done and approved of in many other cases reviewed by this court. Cellspin comes to mind, where the district court properly simplified the claim language into something that was more easily definable. And here, it was no different. The claims at issue all cover the abstract idea of matchmaking, that is, matching people who gave corresponding answers to a question. That's a mental process, and that is...
How do you respond to the argument that there is an inventive concept here? It's assigning a unique identifier to each one of the answers, which then makes matching so much easier.
I would respond a couple different ways. The unique identifier is undefined. It could be the question number one assigned to question number one, question number two assigned to question number two.
Your point is that the claim is so broad, that's not really what's... What about claim 8, which was identified?
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say, by this earlier. Please, go ahead.
As a matter of fact, in its complaint, in its amended complaint, Trinity says that the unique identifier that was used by Covalent was simply the answer that the question... referred to a female, that somebody was selecting a female, and just female was the unique identifier, is what's alleged by Trinity.
You're saying in terms of the infringement allegations?
In terms of the infringement allegations, correct. So with regard to Claim 8, it recites distributed computing, as Judge Bryson pointed out, which Trinity has not alleged to have invented that process. And It simply conducts the abstract comparison on a subset of users on one server and a subset of users on another server, and combines them. The distributed computing focus does nothing more, and I think we're more or less focusing on step two of the Alice analysis here. The distributed computing does no more than simply speed up or potentially make more efficient the matchmaking process. It is using conventional computer technology that Trinity has not alleged it invented to make the abstract process go faster. That is not an inventive concept. It's simply using computers as a tool in the way that they have always been used to speed up a mental process. So going back to Trinity didn't really address step one in its oral argument. In its briefing, it did, and claims that the claims are not abstract. I think that a review of the claims makes clear that they are all directed to this idea of answering, of matching users based on their corresponding answers to a question.
Do you agree with the district court's articulation of what the claims are directed to?
Yes, Covalent does agree.
We've had, obviously, a lot of 101 cases over the last, since about 8 years at least, since Alice, maybe 10 since Mayo. What do you think is the most closely analogous case to this one among the cases that we have decided?
Your Honor, I think there's two cases that come to mind as being closely analogous, Intellectual Ventures versus Capital One.
IV1, is that the...
IV1 versus Capital One.
Right.
It actually involved some of the same types of things that Trinity is claiming to have invented, such as real-time customization of web pages. And as well as adding unique identifications to content. And so I think that's...
Unique identification was in the Capital One case?
I believe it was in the Intellectual Ventures versus Capital One case.
Right.
And then the second case that comes to mind is Personal Web versus Google, a more recent case from 2021.
Right.
Oh, actually, sorry, Personal Web contained the unique identification based on content.
Yeah.
And Intellectual Ventures was involving tailored advertising.
Right.
So those are the two cases that come to mind.
Okay, thank you.
I think that just briefly on the first step, it's pretty clear looking at the claims that these are the types of claims that are collecting data, analyzing it, and providing a result, as has been held unpatentable in Electric Power Group. SAP versus InvestPIC is also on point. Going to...
SAP, did you say?
SAP.
Yeah.
Yes. Going to step two.
To a point that your opposing counsel made, we were talking about claim construction. He suggested the district court cut him off. He couldn't offer any claim construction. Can you just tell me a little bit more about what occurred there?
Yes, I certainly can. In the district court, the most that Trinity did was during the hearing toss off a couple terms that Trinity believed should be construed. It didn't provide any explanation of why those particular terms should be construed. And
did they provide particular constructions?
They did not. They did not provide.
Did the district court say, I don't want to hear a claim construction right now, or anything?
No, the district court did not say anything along those lines. Trinity simply tossed off some terms and provided no explanation of why those terms should be construed or how they should be construed and how that construction would help in the Section 101 analysis. And that was even, we were given the opportunity for supplemental briefing after the hearing on the motion to dismiss. We, a week after the hearing, filed a 5-page brief on other issues raised at the hearing, and yet Trinity still, to this day, has never provided claim construction and why that claim construction would be helpful to analyze the issues. And there are cases, Simio and Dropbox versus Synchronos, that both address this issue of the patentee's failure to actually provide some substantive claim construction. So no, I don't think there is any issue that the district court missed regarding claim construction, and I don't think that it would have changed the analysis either way.
Does this occasion, it wasn't clear to me from the record, but did Judge Holcomb provide the parties with a tentative ruling in advance? That's sometimes done in Los Angeles.
I know yes, he did.
I got the flavor that had been, all right, and that was provided to the parties in advance of the hearing?
Correct.
Okay.
So I think that this court, from its questions, has a handle on step one. I think that it's an abstract process. Step two, looking at the claims, many of the assertions are not even included in the claims as to what constitutes an inventive concept. And particularly, with regard to swiping, the issue raised before, I believe it was Judge Bryson, you were on point there saying that the specification of the 685 patent doesn't contain the word swiping. It doesn't contain any description of swiping. It contains nothing about swiping. Trinity alleged at the hearing they relied on the simple definition handheld device to incorporate that term into the limitation. And Mr. Hillier stated that swiping was considered to be part and parcel of using a handheld device. Well, it's not going to provide an inventive concept when it is apparently so well known that it's just considered part of using a handheld device. At most, that is insignificant post-solution activity added on to the end of an abstract process. And it's not sufficient to transform that abstract process into a patentable invention. So unless the court has any other questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dutra. Mr. Hillier, you are out of time, but I will give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it. I'll use it wisely.
I just want to direct the court's attention to the district court's treatment of Claim 8, which I think we can all agree has greater recited specificity than Claim 1 of the 321 patent. And I'm at Appendix 20, which is the district court's ruling. And it's actually also page 20 of the order, but it's Appendix 20. And the court refers to the specifics in the specification concerning the use of multiple match servers. The court indicates the specification of the 321 patent discloses that using a plurality of match servers would allow the system to quickly connect the users based on their similarities. Court continues, by using the divide and conquer design, the system can scale to a nearly unlimited number of members and poles. Thus, the invention described in the specification purports to improve the matching process through the use of multiple match servers in parallel as opposed to a single or sequential set of match servers. And I'd ask the court to look at the opposing page, page 21, line 9. The court rejects Trinity's argument that the court must accept its allegations that the asserted claims are directed to the improvement of general purpose computing and advances to matching protocol. Well, it's difficult to imagine how Trinity could have given greater specificity coupled with, in isolation, what's a generic statement. But the reason the statement about improvement to general purpose computing was made in advancing the matching calls was in light of the explanations provided in the specification. The last thing I want to just touch base on is the supplemental authority that we submitted several days ago by letter to the clerk pursuant to Federal Rule of Appellate Procedure 28J. This is a fairly recent decision issued by this court called Cooperative Entertainment. And I think it's on all fours with respect to this case in as much as it relates to prong two. And the court calls out a number of things that contradict Covalent's arguments, one of which is that something can't be useful, improvements to computer networks can't be patentable if the network is comprised of standard computing equipment, according to this decisional law. Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
We
appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your argument. The case will be submitted on the briefs.